calling to order the regular meeting for the KPFA Local Station Board on January 26th. And it is 2019, 11:34 a.m. And could you do the roll call, please?
Roll call, Local Station Board meeting. Sharon Adams.
Present.
Sharon Adams present. Ahmad Anderson attempted to be on electronic and wasn't. Technical difficulties. Okay. Marilla Arguelles.
Here.
Marilla here. William Campisi requested excused absence. Chris Corey. Chris Corey here. Brian Crowell. Requested excused absence. Christina Huggins. Christina Huggins here. TM Scruggs requested an excused absence. Aki Tanaka. Aki Tanaka here. Ramses Tion Nichols. Ramses, I have not heard from. Andrea Turner. Andrea Turner present. Tom Voorhees.
Here.
Tom Voorhees here. Carol Wolfley, me here. Lisa Detmer requested an excused absence. Anthony Fest.
Here.
Anthony Fest here. Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs here. Tim Lynch.
Here.
Tim Lynch here. Richard Wolinski requested an excused absence. Steve Zeltzer.
Here.
Steve Zeltzer here. Quincy McCoy. Requested an excused absence. He is in New York. He is doing work with media and doing a presentation in New York about media. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So we have a quorum.
Thank you.
Motion.
Do I have a motion to excuse the absences of the people? That are, do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor, raise your hand.
Steve.
Do you want me to count? 11.
All those opposed? Abstentions? One abstention, the motion passes. Okay, I will read our agreement, group agreement. No video recording permitted at LSB meetings. Speak with each other respectfully during using comfortable volumes. Focus on facts, issues, and proposals. No name-calling or personal insults. Listen to each other with care. Honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedures, and respecting the directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Raise hands to be recognized by the chair, honor individual time allocations per share, and finish up when agreed upon time is over. Each person's time may be used for comments or questions with answers included in the time. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements, after the agreements are brought to their attention, that person may be asked to leave the meeting. And the next, I would entertain a motion to approve the agenda. Have people had an opportunity to read the agenda?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Discussion.
I think three is too hot. Okay, that's good. Yeah, okay. This is Steve Zeltzer. I submitted some additional agenda points earlier this week. One is on planning of the next town hall community meeting. And the second one was a report on multimedia. This could be under new business. And also, I would like to propose, make a motion that we have an election for our officers, which is actually required in December. It was not done last December, but I think we need to have a motion for officers. So that's my three motions.
Is there a second? Discussion. First, I would say we're about to have a whole a major change in our board's composition because of the...
Christina?
Yes.
These are not motions unless they're written out.
Yeah, we need that in writing.
But
we can start discussing it.
Okay.
Here, I'm going to pass this to Steve. First, I would say we could discuss the issue about the live streaming and everything. That would be under old business because we have had that before. That would be old business. As far as the town hall goes, I would suggest that we wait until our board is seated, our new board, because they should be afforded the opportunity to have input into where and when the town hall is. And, I mean, I remember the last meeting, Steve, that you asked us to wait to schedule, to do our meeting schedule until our new board was seated. So I think under the same premise that we should wait until our new board is seated to plan the town hall meeting. So I would make that suggestion.
I accept that on that point on the town hall. We can wait till the new board is seated.
So you want to amend your motion then?
Well, there are three points on the agenda motion. The first was to have an agenda point for an election of the officers, our local station board officers, which is required under the bylaw in December. The second one was a motion to have a report on multimedia, which you're saying would be put under old business, which I accept as well. If that's a friendly amendment, I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I know that everything has been put off because of the dysfunction that has existed on the Pacifica National Board as far as doing things in a timely manner. I would suggest that we wait to elect our officers until we have our full board seated along lines with waiting for the town hall, with waiting for talking about our meetings. It makes more sense to me to elect our officers when we have a full complement of our board. Yes, Steve?
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, our bylaws require that we have officer elections in December. That's in the bylaws. And I think we can do that as KPF Houston has done an election of officers, and we don't have a completed election. We might not know when the election completion is until March or even April. We don't know because of the time problem that we're having in the election. So my motion is that we have our election of officers, and if there's a change in the composition of the board as a result of the election, then we have a new election for those people who have to leave or no longer on the board, which we can do easily, I think. So that's I'm basically saying we need to comply with our bylaws, which say the election for officers of the local station boards have to take place in December. We missed it. I'm proposing we do it at this meeting.
Okay, I just want to say that I always hear that, you know, some certain thing is in the bylaws and therefore we must do it. Just to give maybe a slight legal perspective on that, there's so many things that have been violated within the bylaws and that are consistently violated within the bylaws. And, you know, if a court were to look at something like this, they would just look at what you know, is the board acting reasonably in this situation because it's a governing document, but, you know, we don't... Let me just say it this way. Courts would never step in to require something like this. So I'm not saying we should ignore the bylaws. What I'm saying is we should be realistic and understand that why should we take our time right now to do something when in March we're going to have to repeat it. I think we would have to repeat it to honor the fact that we have new people on the board. I think it would be disrespectful to the new people not to wait until then, you know, to have an election now when we know new people will be coming on. So that's the kind of thing, like if a court were actually looking at this, they would say, oh, that's a reasonable way to handle the situation that, yes, the bylaws required that the election should have been completed by now, but that fact has not happened, so we've already in violation of the bylaws. Therefore, compromising or, you know, changing our timeline to adjust with the reality that the election hasn't happened, that's not really a violation of the bylaws. That's dealing with reality.
No, I think what Sharon said is good. I also wanted to speak to the other point about we have already talked about the issues about technology and live streaming. One of my concerns, there are some concerns that have to do with legal issues with those matters, and so if we are going to talk about that under new business, I would like us to go into executive session because of legal issues.
It should be old business.
business, then we would go into executive session.
Okay. Any more discussion? So we have two motions, as I understand it. Is that correct, Steve?
Yeah, there are two motions. I mean, I would like to respond to it. I mean, we're not a court here. Okay, we're a local station board under the bylaws of Pacifica. And I know that there are lawsuits right now that have cost $50,000 and more about following the bylaws, supposedly. What I believe the motion is that we do follow the bylaws and not wait for a court to – I'm personally against going to court to order the foundation to do this or that. I think, you know, that we as a board should carry out the bylaws. And the Houston station has elected their officers. If people have to leave as a result of the election, then you will have an election to replace them. But the bylaws do require that we have elections in December. And I don't think we should say, well, we're having difficulty, so let's just ignore what the bylaws say, because that has been a point that we've had a lot of discussion about as far as following the bylaws. The second point on multimedia, I believe that when you go into executive session, it's for personnel issues. That's what an executive session, well, you know, legal issues, you can have a debate about the legal issues, and we've done that many times on this board about legal issues. In fact, we spent hours talking about legal issues in public on this board. So talking about legal issues can be a public debate. The point is about multimedia, we've had a document presented about multimedia, and we just had a live streaming of a teachers' rally that happened, the Oakland teachers, Bay Area teachers' rally, and the issue of us becoming a multimedia platform is important, and it should be under old business so we can continue to have that discussion. Thank you.
Tim?
Just a question, I guess, about standard practice. If the National Board had done the elections to schedule, when would that election have been completed, and when would the new people have been seated?
That would have been December.
So standard practice is that the new people are brought on to the board, and then there's an election of officers.
Correct.
Yeah, in that case, I think we should follow the standard procedure and bring in a new set of officers once we have brought in a new board.
Thank you. And then Sabrina?
I think we need to clear up what supersedes what as far as the National Board and the LSBs. If the LSB hasn't finished their election, as KPFA has not, then the National Board would have to wait to have those LSB members that have been chosen to be on the PNB seated, which is going to create some type of stoppage as far as the PNB being able to conduct business. It's kind of a question mark after that last comment there. So, I mean, it just seems logical that we just wait. I mean, we don't need to be electing officers until I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, I would agree that we should wait. So I think we've had discussion. Let's vote on the separate motions. The first motion would be motion to have agenda point for election of officers.
Like a roll call, if we can. Motion to have a roll call.
Okay. All those in favor of roll call, raise your hand.
All those in favor of doing roll call?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on. Let me count.
Okay. We'll have a roll call vote. So, Carol,
do the honors. There you go. She's got to get her thing ready there.
Can we read the motion, please?
Oh, do you need something?
Yeah.
The motion is to have the agenda. Motion to have agenda point for election of officers. That's the motion.
Sharon Adams?
No.
Sharon Adams, no. Marilla?
Abstain.
Marilla, abstain. Chris Corey?
Pass.
Chris Corey, pass. Christina Huggins?
No.
Christina Huggins, no. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Aki Tanaka, no. Andrea Turner? Andrea Turner, no. Tom Voorhis?
Yes.
Tom Voorhis, yes. Carol Wolfley, no. Anthony Fest?
Yes.
Anthony, yes. Sabrina Jacobs?
No.
Sabrina Jacobs, no. Tim Lynch?
No.
Tim Lynch, no. Steve Zeltzer?
Yes.
Steve Zeltzer, yes. Three, yes. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven, no. And two, I had two abstaining. I had. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I confused pass and abstain.
No, he changed.
I just changed.
Okay, so three, yes. Seven, no. So obviously fatal.
Next item, that was great.
15 minutes on that one.
Thank you. The second motion, did you write that one up, Steve?
Well, I took a friendly amendment. You saying old business that we deal with multimedia under old business. I took that as a friendly amendment. So
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So I guess we have to vote on the friendly amendment then.
Agenda.
So, yeah.
Agenda. Okay.
Okay, that's a substitute motion.
Yeah, that's a substitute motion. Well, it's an additional. If we're going to talk about live streaming.
If we're going to talk about live streaming, I would like that to include executive session. And the reason is that there are some legal issues that cannot be talked about.
Can you define those legal issues?
I can't.
Then why should we go into executive session?
Because I don't think we should talk about live streaming and try to make a decision about that unless we're talking about some of the legal issues that have come up in relation to some of the live streaming events.
Yeah, do I have a second on the substitute motion?
Who's motion?
Carol.
Carol's.
Second. Thank you.
Okay. Discussion? Anthony?
By this reasoning, if we had a discussion about what the Constitution means, that would be a legal issue, and we'd have to go into executive session. That's absurd. I'm not talking about any. I don't think we're going to talk about anything that relates to KPFA specifically or legal matters which have involved KPFA, past or present, but just in general, in which case it would be appropriate to go into executive session. But just the general notion of streaming, just because it entails legal issues, so what? Abstract legal issues, only if it were specific to KPFA as an institution or some staffer at KPFA should it be deemed suitable for executive session.
Thank you. Tim?
So I guess I don't understand what's going on with the legal issues and stuff. So is there a way to say in open session some topic that would help us understand why executive session is needed? And if not, is there a way for us to break into executive session briefly to hear what the issue is, to know why we need it? Because I'm in the dark here.
I think we could do that at the time. We could pass the motion, and then at the time that it comes up, if there's objectional, then we can decide whether we need to go into executive mode at that time rather than right now. So
yeah.
Let's put it on the agenda. That's what I would suggest. If people are amenable to that, we'll vote on the motion first, but put it on the agenda under the friendly amendment I made of old business, and we could vote on that. Did you want to say something, Tom?
I think you just covered.
Okay, thank you. So all those in favor of the motion that we put, what Steve wrote here, here's what he wrote. Motion to add to old business, multimedia issues, and priority for KPFA. Also, now we're going to vote on the motion. All those in favor, raise your hand.
Okay, keep your hands up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11.
All those opposed? Abstain? One opposed?
No, I'm opposed.
And all those abstaining?
Zero.
Okay, the motion carries. Thank you.
Okay.
Now we would go into the, now on the agenda as amended, we would be voting on that now. So all those, yes, Sam?
I just want to note it for the record that the general manager is not present and his absence was excused, but I assume there, he's not sent a written report. If anyone knows differently, please speak. And let it also be noted that the program director and business manager are not here either.
Thank you. We will be having a brief discussion about or what's going on with the finances from with our treasurer and what happened with, just for your illumination, Quincy had thought we were having our meeting when he originally scheduled it in. We actually have moved a couple of our meetings to different dates, and that's why he wasn't able to make this one. He's actually giving a talk at the Hofstra University in New York that was scheduled a long time before he realized this meeting was rescheduled to the date that is in conflict. So that's why he is not here today. He did send something to us saying that there wasn't really anything more updates since his last very voluminous general's report that I was going, I was reading, I was like sort of losing my voice with. So there's really no particular updates since then. So just to note that Quincy did notify us, told us why, and that's what's going on. So now if we could vote on the main motion as the agenda. Yeah. The agenda as amended, voting. All those in favor, raise your hand.
I would call that unanimous.
Yeah. It's unanimous. It passes. Boy, we are good. Okay, and then we would be moving on to public comments. Do we have people who would like to make public comments present? Anybody?
Okay.
Is it working? I guess. Okay, I'm Daniel Borgstrom, and I know, and I heard, and also read on this thing that videos are not permitted in this LSB session, and some people are asking why. Well, I'm not asking why. I know why. The reason is, or part of the reason is, that there's some very undignified behavior that happens at these sessions. And some of it got videotaped some years ago. And about the best or maybe the worst example of this was several years ago. I happened to be present and actually in the video, actually. But One of the LSB members stomped up to the chair and started yelling right in her face, yelling and growling. And this chair happened to be her profession. Well, she was a dog trainer. So she looks at him and says, "Sit, sit, sit." Well, the puppy did sit. But at the same meeting, maybe half an hour later, I'm sitting there, and another person, well, this is Dan Siegel, comes up to start hassling me about something, and I say, "Don't talk to me, talk to my attorney," and there's Richard Phelps. So, and instead of trying to talk to Richard Phelps, Siegel challenges Richard Phelps to get out there and duke it out, go outside the door and have a fist fight. And all of this was on video, of course. And meanwhile, and Richard doesn't want to do this. He thinks this is ridiculous. Meanwhile, here comes up another one of these heroine, the guest star of this video. That was, what was her name now? Sherry Gettleman. She comes up and starts saying, Richard's a coward. You should go out and fight him. And she starts dancing. Richard's a coward. Richard's a coward. And Richard looks at her and says, and that reminds her of something. Sherry Gettleman's a lawyer. And he reminds her of a time when she was she got reprimanded by a court, an official reprimand for she got caught lying to a client. And that's kind of, in the legal world, I guess that's kind of a big thing anyway. Then she kind of looks at it and shrivels up and just disappears into the crowd. Well, this is the sort of thing that sometimes happens at these LSB meetings. And I wouldn't compare it to even to the British House of Commons. It's more like a barroom ball scene in a TV Western. Now, some people consider board meetings to be kind of like watching paint dry. No. It's not like watching paint dry. It's some very photogenic stuff, and that's why why some people don't want it recorded. Well, I would ask one question. What took you so long to make that decision?
Time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you for the history. That was really illuminating. I don't know. Are there any more public comments?
I just got a question.
Sure.
I'm Donald McCracken. What power does this board actually have?
Yeah.
I'll show them the
Bible. Sure. Are there any other public comments other than that question? I would respond just ever so briefly that since I've been on this board, and that's why we have this agreement that we read before every meeting, that it's been pretty mild. We haven't had anything like that happen since I've been here anyway, and I've been here a couple years. Yes. Although I know that used to happen with some frequency, and still does at some of the other stations, I believe. We've actually been able to reach across what you call divide, factions, whatever, and we are able to talk to one another respectfully here, which I very much appreciate from everybody here. And I'll let Carol answer the question that the gentleman asked about what power the board has.
I'm still looking, sorry. I'll just give it to him.
Okay. Just to answer on the record, and I'm not looking at the bylaws, but we do approve the budget. So we approve the budget of KPFA. But we don't have final say over that either, because that then goes to the Pacifica National Board. But we do review it and approve it here. We have the ability to evaluate and the general manager. So we do evaluations. Yes. So, but we have actually very, very limited power despite the amount of time and energy put into the board. We don't really have any direct, people always think we have power over programming, but we do not have direct power over programming. We appoint officers. Oh, and I mean, one of the key things, I guess you might say, in terms of the governance is we elect 4 directors that then go to the Pacifica National Board, and that is where the true governance of Pacifica resides, because it's a national nonprofit corporation. So we have elected, Chris, I'm pointing at Chris, and Tom, and Sabrina, and Carol are the people that we have currently serving on the Pacifica National Board. So that's one of the other key things that we actually do.
Thank you. And it's not an easy job, and we really appreciate our folks that go to the PNB. Did you want to add something, Chris?
No, I had one more addition to that. The elected members of the Pacifica National Board, they can't be elected to the board unless they serve on the LSB. So it's a conduit to place people on the board as well. So without being seated here, you can't be seated there.
Carol?
Yeah, and you have to be seated for a year in order to be elected. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing the board is responsible for is evaluations of the manager and the program director, and also the board can recommend the discharge of the manager and program director. It has to be approved, but they can recommend it. And the board also is responsible for having town hall meetings every 6 months, which is required in the bylaw.
No, I had it. I'm sorry. And now Carol.
Okay. Public comment, Carol Travis. In answer to what you asked, another thing is that the LSB can put people, except in this particular situation, which is a complex thing, on national committees. And particularly the National Finance Committee, the National Audit Committee, the Personnel Committee are very important in terms of the functioning to see that the audits and the finances and so on are being taken care of. So people come from that and go on those national boards.
Thank you, Carol.
That's okay. So I wanted to say those things that have already been mentioned and then to assist in station fundraising activities. So we are charged with being a fundraising body. And to reach out to underrepresented communities to help the station serve as a diversity, serve a diversity of all races, creeds, colors, nations, classes, genders, and sexual orientation and ages, and to help build collaborative relationships with organizations working for similar purposes, to perform community needs assessments. We do that through our community advisory boards, and also to ensure that the station works diligently toward the goal of diversity on staffing at all levels and maintenance of a discrimination-free atmosphere in the workplace, and to exercise all its powers and duties with care, loyalty, diligence, and sound business judgment consistent with the manner in which these terms are generally defined under the California Code.
Thank you, Carol. I think we're going to move on to the treasurer's update.
So I think, as has been mentioned, Maria is not here, our business manager. She did tell me that she's having database issues and she needs to reconcile the numbers. So she doesn't want to put out numbers that are inaccurate at this time. So she does not want to. So she didn't provide any additional numbers over what we have last time. I do want to say, as part of my treasurer's report, that KPFA has been consistently paying its bills. I've been on the board for 3 years. At the end of every year, every fiscal year, which does end September 30th, we have a positive cash in our bank balance, and we have paid all our bills. So I know some people like to say things about different ways of accounting and things like that, but the fact is that every year that I'm here, we pay our staff, we pay our bills, we pay our central services in full, unlike other stations, and we still have cash in the bank. So I look to the realistic accounting of actual, like, you know, if we were unable to pay our bills, I would have a lot more concern. But given that 3 years I've been here, every year we seem to keep being able to pay our bills, I think we should have a little respect for the work that our business manager does.
Okay. No, it's okay. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to mention that it's my understanding. I met with Maria last night, and it's my understanding also, you know, we went over all the things that Sharon mentioned, and also that there is money in the bank that KPFA has. So one of the things I think that's occurred is that there are some difficulties with the accounting software, And we have very old software that was running on very old equipment. And there's processes going on of transferring, and these are very complex systems, and there are some problems, but not like horrific, horrendous problems that are throwing us into challenges. It's things that need to be worked through because of the accounting software that we use. So thanks.
Steve?
Yeah, well, I think that we have to have financial reports that update us on what's happening. For example, we had a fund drive recently. What was the goal and what did we collect? That's something that we should be provided with. I haven't seen that yet. That should be able to be presented to the board. It hasn't. Also, I'm against the idea of waiting until we run out of money and can't pay our expenses and then having a discussion about what financial problems we have. That's not the way a proper nonprofit operates, you know, to wait till the money runs out and then says, well, we got a problem. our membership is not increasing, you know, and our listenership is not growing. Okay, if those two factors are the case, that raises questions about the viability of KPFA. Those are the concerns I have with the finances and making this a continuing operation. Those have to be addressed. And I don't think we can stay and do the same thing over and over again and hope to have different results. You know, and that is a concern that I have, which has not been addressed by these financial reports, frankly. So those are something that we have to have. And also, there can be a financial report by our financial manager to us without having to have her come personally. The same with the manager. Even if the manager is unable to come, he can make a report here, one page, whatever, make a report. I have some questions about the finances that I would like to ask, about the fundraising, about the movie drive we're having, like the movies. You know, the movie thing that is being advertised quite a bit on KPFA, is that raising any money? Those are questions I have, and we can't have them addressed if the people and the managers who are responsible for that either are not here or don't provide a report on those issues.
Thank you. I would just make a statement that at our last meeting, I read a very long general manager's report where he did report on how the fundraising went, on what funds were raised, and he's given us reports on the movie fundraising aspect, which is not as much fundraiser as it is an outreach to the community, is what he told us. It does raise some money, but it's not a huge fundraiser. And I would state that Maria is working on transferring. We're going to a different system from our other system. That's going to take a while, and putting out false numbers is not helpful. I also went to the station to meet with Maria because of all the hoopla that's been going across emails with some people that don't even see our financials that are extrapolating falsely from them. So I would say that she could demonstrate to me there was all of our bills were paid. She could show you that part of our financials, and there's money in the bank. So she's not, it's not pell-mell. We're not on the edge of anything, which is what Sharon just said. She said that she sat with Maria before, and she shows her, you know, exactly what's out, exactly what's in the bank, and that we're doing okay. So it's not such a precarious situation as all that. So did you have something that you wanted to ask, Anthony?
Yeah, a quick statement. Just for a sense of perspective, when I first came on the board in, I think, January of 2007, KPFA had about $2 million in the bank. And all that was spent. Granted, the Great Recession struck, but there seemed to be no adaptation to that until the savings were all gone. And yet, now the Great Recession's been over for some years, and yet people are saying that they're fearing we might be heading into another, hopefully not a great one, but perhaps another recession. We're not going to have $2 million, but we should have spent some time in these years of relative prosperity and a growing Bay Area population rebuilding the savings. And as far as I know, that's not happened. If we barely break even at the end of the year, that's not really anything to crow about, because what happens when the next recession does arrive? So that's a general statement. More specific one, I've been asking Maria for months about what seems to be either a mistake or a huge overrun in the personnel cost out of the fiscal year 2018, which is now over, and I'm still waiting for an answer.
Thank you. Are there any more questions? Then moving on, I think the next part of our agenda, which I've lost now. Did you want to say something, Tom?
This morning, all of these board members received a independent budget analysis that seems to say that we have about $250,000 deficit. And I would like a response to that to be contained in the next budget report to this board.
I did not receive that. So when you say we all received it, I did not receive it. Maybe it's in my email, but I haven't seen that. So I really can't address directly what you're saying, Tom. Excuse me. But I will just repeat again. There's many ways to play with numbers. For example, it is a fact that KPFA has loaned Pacifica $1 million at least once, probably more than $1 million, and that money was just sort of taken off the books, as they say, in some accounting maneuver, you might call it. So a lot of times when I hear all these things, I think, this is numbers that, don't really add up to, like, concrete bills that need to be paid, concrete cash that comes in, because you can always, like, play with the numbers and make different arguments. But if you're paying the bills every year for 3 years in a row, you're not going into deficit. We're paying central services unlike other stations. I mean, the thing is, the thing that surprises me about these discussions is, you can always criticize, but KPFA is still one of, if not the most financially viable station within the network. So instead of the constant criticism about what we're doing and how maybe we could account for the numbers to show that we're running a deficit, why don't we look at the stations that are actually running a deficit, like in real numbers, not paying their central services, and put as much criticism on them? Let's focus on their budgets, because when I see a problem, then I will do something. But I don't see a problem with what's happening right now at KPFA.
Tom?
Yeah, I just want a commitment to respond to the independent budget report that was sent to you all this morning in a future meeting.
I have two other people. I have one question. What independent report? Yeah, where did it come from?
I can answer that. It's the usual Tracy Rosenberg spin, looking for trouble and making up stuff. I don't think we need to respond to every time Tracy Rosenberg puts something out. She's not a member of this board, and she has not proven to me to be a credible assessment, to provide credible assessments of our finances or anything else.
Thank you. Steve?
Yeah, well, this issue of finances and outreach is an important one to increase our finances. And one of the things we learned is a lot of effort and a lot of radio time went into advertising this fundraiser at UC Stadium, UC Auditorium, Zellerbach. And according to our manager's last report on that, it lost money. Now, he said we didn't pay for that, but it lost money. So who paid for it? How much was lost? How many people went to it? That's a serious question. Another question I have is we talk about fundraising and this movie series that we're doing. And frankly, I have a lot of problems advertising corporate movies when there's a lot of independent movies we could be advertising on KPFA in a movie series. We're advertising corporate movies and pushing them on our airwaves. I have a problem with that. But the question I have is, are we making any money on this? Is this a budget loser? Is this a loss? Because we're spending a lot of airtime
of KPFA listeners telling them to go to these things. How many people are going? What are we making? And I raise that in context of a mass workers' rally, teachers' rally, educators' rally that was held on January the 12th, where we streamed it live, and we asked the manager and program director, let's publicize that on KPFA, let's put it on Facebook, let's have a link to it on the website, and we can raise our listenership and support among teachers, among educators, students, and parents. And I got a negative response from the manager and program director that they weren't interested. In fact, one response said, set up your own website, set up your own Facebook page. I don't think that's the proper way to build a community at KPFA and build our audience. Frankly, with public education, this is an issue for millions of people in California, the teacher strike in Los Angeles, and the coming likely teacher strike of the Oakland Education Association.
I have a quick question, and perhaps we can figure out a way to, connect to the national board. Are we ever reimbursed, or is it a wash in? We've floated the ship, the Pacifica ship, for a long time. Do we ever get any money back? Is there an interest that was building up? All of that. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. If someone knows, Tim? Yeah. Or is it just a paper wash fiscally?
The paper wash fiscally is always called an interagency loan. So what happens is they just write it out, right? So they say, we're going to pay you back. We give them our money. And then years down the road, when they don't give us the money, they look at the books and they say, oh, that was an interagency transfer. So therefore, it doesn't have to be accounted for. And we forget about it. So that's the words that they use to take our money.
Yeah, so the $1 million was not paid back that we referenced before.
Okay, and we never sign off on the agreement. If it's a loan, usually agreements have the percent of money and interest built up and all. It's just, okay, it's, yeah.
And to add to that, property of KPFA's that was paid for by KPFA listeners was just sold to benefit the national office. That doesn't benefit KPFA either. So there's just massive amounts of property and money being transferred from the Bay Area to the national office. But people don't want to, they get hung up.
Okay, so I want to just respond. Zellerbach was not a loss. I believe that what Quincy said, because he did report on that, was that the producers lost money, but KPFA itself did not. There's so many things to respond to. Regarding the live stream, which has nothing to do with the budget, I just want to say that there were a total of 4 people that watched the live stream, so I really don't think that's going to be a great way to build the audience. Also, the YouTube already exists for live stream, and, why reinvent the wheel? But I think one of the most important things to say is, yes, Knock Upon, as it's commonly called, was sold. It was sold, and the money was used for Pacifica National Board and for the Pacifica as a whole. In addition, Pacifica as a whole took out a loan and used as collateral the KPFA studio building and other properties. Yes, and all the equipment. Yes, and, well, so that is, yes. Apparently also, yes. So, and they have no plan to repay. I actually recently looked at the report that Grace Aaron had put out, and back when she put it out, I was like, well, it doesn't go past August 2019, and that's when the loan is due. So she came out with a plan that has no way of being repaid. Yes, sorry, I guess I had the mic too close to my mouth. So I just want to say that the loan is for $3.2 million, and the interest payments right now are being paid by the escrow account, and Pacifica as a whole will have to start coming up with the escrow payments around September, and there is no plan, nothing, no way that those money is going to be gathered because there's no income. All the other stations are running a deficit, apparently, or close to a deficit. So that, except for KPFK, that is where the real financial issue is within this whole thing, because we are one foundation right now.
Thank you. I had I had Steve, and then I had Tim. Thank you. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, well, I agree that there is a financial crisis, and that's why we got a loan, because there, you know, there were threats here that we were going to be liquidated. People remember that? We're going to be liquidated. In fact, some people retired from KPFA because they thought they were going to lose their retirement. Yeah. Okay, so they were able to get a loan. We were able to keep the foundation going. Okay, some people said it couldn't happen. We had to go into a voluntary bankruptcy. That wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. We're still operating. The question is how are we going to change this dynamic so we don't end up in another financial crisis when the loan comes due? That's really the question. And we have a new executive director. We have a new executive director who has a plan. I sent it to people. It was circulated around. He met with the WBAI board. I think he should come and meet with us. But I think that, you know, it would be good for him to talk about what his vision is. We do need a vision, you know, about where we're going to go. And that's where the issue of multimedia comes in. Because actually $3 million is a small amount of money. $4 million is a small amount of money. If we can connect with the people who are concerned about immigration in California, the people who are concerned about education, and we can have a statewide platform, a live platform addressing those issues, so we connect with teachers and immigrant community, then we'll start getting money because people will see the relevance of KPFA and Pacifica. So I think we need a plan to rebuild our financial base by actually becoming a real broadcast medium that connects with a large number of people, and then we can solve our financial problem, and that's possible, I think.
Tim, and really then Sabrina.
Just a really quick correction. The nonprofits can't go into involuntary bankruptcy.
Thank you, Sabrina. Go ahead, Tim.
I just want to point out for the record, since so many things have been said here, that the reason we needed a loan was not KPFA debt. It was not KPFA finances. It was WBAI's multi-million dollars debts to the Empire State Building and others. And so that's why KPFA property is online, and that's why the network has a problem. And I think it's important that we keep that in mind when we talk about the and frame it that way, because we didn't create this problem. We've been doing what we can to solve it, and it, but yet it's going to fall on us potentially. So I think it's important that KPFA unifies around the those sets of facts, and that everything we do stipulates. Is that the lawyer term? We must stipulate that in the way we approach this.
Thank you, Tim. Andrea, we're to move on after this. Go ahead.
Another quick question. Can we invite the head dude here and have like a okay, that would be really, really good. And then we could, right. Yeah, but we could do some more about it because I'm sure our listenership would love to really ask questions and, you know, we could go. So I go with you on that one.
My understanding is he is going to be coming to visit sometime next month. So he will be here.
So okay. Let's plan some.
Okay. Carol, did you want to make a motion?
I have two motions. Two people are, well, with one motion to move the agenda, change the agenda to put the Community Advisory Board on. They have an announcement for 1 minute, and then to move to the bylaws because Carol Travis is here with materials to do an overview of some of the bylaws proposals.
Discussion? Yes, Steve?
Yeah, I think the issue of the bylaw changes should be a separate point. I have no problem having a CAB report, but the issue of the bylaws is another point on the agenda. So let's be clear about that.
That's fine. We'll separate them. We have two motions then. So, Tom, is this working? Is my mic working? Oh, okay.
Okay, so if there's a point to have a discussion about the bylaws, I assume you're the Pacifica National bylaws you're talking about.
That's correct.
Okay. The Pacifica National bylaws have not been approved. We don't know what they are, and I don't think we should have a discussion until they're approved by the Pacifica Board, and then we can have a discussion on all the bylaws approved by the Pacifica Board. I think it'd be, frankly, a waste of time to talk about bylaws that may or may not be presented to us
And if the board votes to present them, then we have a discussion. That doesn't preclude people from distributing the proposed bylaws, but having a discussion before they're approved is problematic.
Okay, but I would just say it's already on the bylaws that we voted for, on the agenda, rather. The bylaws is already on the original agenda that we voted for. So we can discuss them if we want to. We're just not going to vote on them today. There would be no movement on them.
And it's important that we have full information so that we can direct our representatives to the Pacifica National Board to what we may want or not want, which is exactly the point of this board.
So my motion is to move that item up on the agenda as a courtesy, the item about old business, the discussion about the bylaws, because Carol Travis is here who has done a summary of the bylaws, and it's a courtesy to her to do it now if we can.
I second that motion.
Thank you. All those in favor, raise your hand. Did you get Sabrina?
Yep.
Okay. All those opposed?
Two
opposed. Abstentions? One abstention. The motion passes. Did you want to do the second motion at this time as well, Carol? Which was about the CAB report? Okay. And to where?
To right now. No, to after Carol. No, to before.
Okay. Okay, well, then the second motion is to insert the CAB report, as the people have just arrived here a little bit ago, and have that, I guess, before Carol's is what? Is that what your motion is? Okay, so that would make 8 would be right after 4, and then 8 would be right after that one. Mm-hmm. All those in favor of the CAB giving a brief report to us, please raise your hands.
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay.
Unanimous. Thank you very much. Go. So I guess we will give the CAB report now. There's a mic right there.
I'm Mary Ann with the CAB, and this is Rich with CAB. We had a CAB meeting this morning, which is why we weren't here at the beginning, because it conflicted with our CAB meeting. So we finished early. What I've got is some extra copies of the CNA that I handed out at the last CAB meeting. So if anybody didn't get a copy and wants one, please, Rich will give you one. Secondly, We are going to start really pushing the SurveyMonkey early next month. Not next month. We're going to start really seriously working on it next month, and we will come to you with the questions so you can review them and get back to us if anybody wants to add, amend, or whatever, to allow you some input. The other thing is I emailed everybody on the LSB the CNA that included the detail answers. And what I wanted to do is hand out a paper that you could put your email on if for any reason you did not get the email I sent out. So I'm going to send this around. Okay, so if you don't remember or you didn't get it, after the last LSB meeting, it would have been about 3 weeks ago, or maybe 4, maybe 5. It was a while ago. So right after the LSB meeting, and I don't know what right after is, 3 days. So anyway, just put your name on that, and just know that the CAB is here to help with outreach, et cetera, where we can. And we're down to 3, so we really, really need CAB members. So if anybody knows someone who would be interested in being on the CAB, it is really important that we get additional CAB members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marianne. Okay, any questions?
Oh, yeah, any questions?
Yes, thank you. Yes, Steve?
thanks for your work. I mean, on a previous survey, you had said that there was some more interest and support for multimedia, more streaming. Is that continued to exist? That's the first question.
You have to look at the CNA. It's been so long. It's in the report as to what they asked, and I can't remember the statistics as to they asked for streaming, they asked for other things, but the percentage, et cetera.
It's in the report.
Is in the report.
Yeah. Thank you, Maria.
Okay.
Thank you.
And secondly, are you the authors of this report, just you three?
Yes, it was just the three of us.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll move along to allow Carol Travis is here. And she has a report on the bylaws that she helped write some of, so we can understand them and know what's actually going on that could have a direct impact on our board. Thank you.
Okay, is this on? Okay, I'm going to sit down. Oh, because I'm old. Okay, this is a report of the bylaws that appear, the amendments that appear on the Pacifica National Board. They are posted. So they are under consideration currently. The process for approving bylaws in the current bylaws make it nearly impossible to change the bylaws. That's one of the issues with the governance. There are many issues with the governance, some of them reflected in the current bylaws, and there's some more bylaws that are about to be posted. The new executive director, the Strategic Planning Committee of the National Board, and many individuals have understood the issues that are present in the current bylaws. The current bylaws are 45 pages long. They're complex. They have details which have made it, in this past year, clearly impossible for us, no matter which way we did things, to comply with the bylaws. And our attorney indicated that we had to do the best we could, even if we couldn't specifically comply. So that's what we have done. So this is the beginning of a conversation, and you can vote on bylaws if you choose to today or not. But currently there are 11 bylaws posted, and the sheet that I just passed out to you has a description of what they are, and there's a color code which has to do with my recommendation, which and some others I've talked to, but you may disagree with that, but I'll give you a quickie description of them. And these have been on the website since December 7th, and these have been talked about at the last LSB meeting, and they were posted on this agenda. So if you're into this, you have plenty of opportunity to research it, and if you don't care about it, well, then you don't care. So the first of the proposed bylaw changes is the end of the use of membership waivers. And that's something that was a nice idea that was put in there, that an LSB could waive any requirement for a person who wanted to be a member, either $25 a year or the hours of service to the station, and that has never been used ever since 2002, and it's not going to be used. It's a, you know, so it's just a removal of something that is a non-useful bylaw provision. So it is thought that that should be accepted. The second one that's posted is something that defines what a delegate is, and it's a language. It's a grammatical correction. It's no substance to it, and that probably should be accepted too, although there's probably a lot of those in the bylaws. But this is one that was caught and raised. The third bylaw defines the delegate's eligibility for nomination. And this is one that has been an issue in our board, or your board, which has to do with whether or not you can be a candidate for delegate if you hold an office that's a non-policy implementing office. For example, if you're appointed to a housing commission that is an advisory commission to the city of Berkeley, so that if you're a housing activist who gets noted by your city council person and put on the advisory board for the city of Berkeley, currently it is argued that you cannot be a delegate. And there has been disagreement over that. And this provision, number three, makes it clear that even if it's a non-implementing and only an advisory board position, that you cannot be a delegate. I made that in red and say thought we should turn that down since we would want housing activists or you know, healthcare activists or activists who were on only advisory commissions to not be excluded from being on our board. Number four is reduce the size of the LSB in filling vacancies. There's lots of discussion in these bylaws and generally going on about reducing the size of both boards, both the LSB and the national board. Wait a minute, number four. Hold on a second. I've got to get number four. Let's see why this is number four. I think that number four, anyway, it's good on, if you're interested in shrinking the board, it's an okay provision on that. It has provisions that if there are openings that the board only appoints people to the openings in the LSB, delegate seats that open are in this draft replaced by the other delegates and from people who are qualified. So people who are replaced have more qualifications than people who run. And it also is, so people may not, I said no, or, you know, you might want to discuss that, think about that. I think I said no, did I? What was that? Yes. I said yes. Oh, I said yes on that one. Okay. And five, I said no. And five, what five does is if there are openings in the delegate positions, you don't fill them until three-quarters of the, you drop down to only 3/4 of the size of the current LSB. So it shifts the character. It potentially shifts the political character of the board. Again, you may notice or you may not have noticed that there's a lot of signatures on these amendments by directors who then, for example, me, who then doesn't support the thing that I signed. And that's because there was an effort, there was a decision and an effort that we would support each other's bylaw changes to get them out so that it would encourage the discussion. That's the reason for that, in case you noticed that, which you probably didn't. You might notice it one day. Right, right. And number 6 is, again, it's the advisory versus policy implementing, but it's not for the LSB, it's for the PNB. So it's the same issue, so that's a no. Seven just adds to the discussion and description of the duties of the national board, a provision that says that the national board directs policy, establishes policy, but the manager implements it. Competent managers implement. It's designed to stop or micromanaging of management. Yeah, and 8, 9, and 10 are all different discussions of changing, reducing the size of the PNB and extending the term of the PNB. Here it's discussed as extending the term to 2 years from 1 year. It turns out that when you get on the national board, it takes about 6 months to get into the rhythm of what's going on, and then your term's almost over. And so the turnover, the potential complete turnover, although it usually is not complete turnover, but the potential of complete turnover of the national board leads to a bit of insanity, or I should say contributes to a bit of insanity. I'm not sure it leads. I'm not sure what leads. But anyway, the reason why 10, even though it's similar to 8 and 9, is suggested as a no vote is because it's a bit complicated and not clear. You know, some of these things, when you're writing bylaws, you get into weeds, and it's tricky. And actually, I was involved in writing that one, and I think I did a lousy job. So, and number 11 is a great idea. It's that the affiliate stations elect their own directors to the board rather than what is currently the case, that affiliate directors are elected by the national board. And it's a very good idea, but there's no procedure to do that at this point. And there's discussion in the board about helping the affiliates get more organized and so on in the future. And there's a discussion about attempting to have, you know, a real council of affiliates, maybe at the grassroots radio annual meeting, to really bump up the participation of the affiliates and their own representation. So that's a summary of what's actually on the table currently. I'll just say a couple of more things quickly. One is, so the current bylaw issues in summary are cleanup of irrelevant or grammatical issues, the eligibility for delegate, the size of the LSB, the filling of vacancies on the LSB, the authority of management, the size of the PNB, the longer terms for PNB, and the composition of the PNB, that is the at-large and affiliate members. And pending issues is bylaw amendment processes, because as we got into this, it became clear that none of these would ever pass, nothing that anybody did, because you have to have not only the PNB passing, and I think it's currently by two-thirds, but maybe it's just a majority of the all of the members, and then a majority or maybe two-thirds of all of three LSBs, so or a 2% of the membership bringing a petition, and then a majority of a quorum of the membership voting. It's impossible. So bylaw amendment processes, representation at the PMB based on membership numbers rather than on a fixed number, qualifications for LSB and PNB like media experience or law or finance or board experience or particular political activism. The question of should PNBs exist? I mean, LSBs exist. What are their functions? Should boards be elected? Definition and rights of members. And should, if you got rid of the LSBs, would you directly, if you were still going to do elections, would you directly either locally or nationally elect PNB members? I think that's it.
Question, Carol?
Yeah.
I'm not clear on the process for this.
Are you the chair?
I talked with...
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. Yeah. Okay.
Because I just have a question about the process also, and I wanted to clarify that. So thank you, Steve, for keeping track of me. My question for you, Carol, is what is the process for amending the bylaws? Because I was sort of unclear when you said we could vote on them right now, and that confused me. I'm asking you, Carol Travis. Okay, because you're, like, leaving.
No, I'm not leaving.
Okay. So.
I'm going to get the bylaws.
Okay. Okay. That was my question. What's the process?
Okay.
There's two senses of, here, help me find it if you're going to give me that. I don't know. It's 17, Article 17, so it's near the end. I think it's Article 17. You know, getting a sense of what the body is useful for a PNB vote. And so, okay, here we go. Okay, amendment of the, to propose amendments officially, you need six directors, a majority vote of the delegates of each of two foundation radio stations. These are the three different ways to propose them officially. Okay, so approving, number one, the board and the delegates shall vote on all amendments to the articles. So it's the board and the delegates shall vote on all amendments to the articles proposed pursuant to Section 2A of this article above, within 90 days from the date at which the foundation secretary receives the petition and receives the notice of the board proposal or the delegates' vote proposing the said amendment. So, well, this was done on these particular things were submitted and posted on December 10th. So we're still within 60 days, okay? 90. We're still within 90 days. In order for amendment to the articles pursuant to Section 2A of this article above to be approved or adopted and subject to Section 2B5 of this article below, one, the proposed amendments must be approved by the two-thirds vote of all the directors, two-thirds vote of all of the delegates of at least three foundation radio stations. The delegates should vote on the proposed amendment within the same calendar month as the board, and two-thirds vote of the members provided a quorum of the members has been established by written ballot or, in the case of an amendments proposed by member petition pursuant to 2A3. Okay. Notice of a proposed amendment to the article shall be posted on the foundation's website on the date, which is 60 days before the early. Okay.
Steve? Steve?
Pardon? So this is the month in which the PNB may vote. It's appropriate for us to vote in this month on them.
Marilla?
Well,
Steve, go ahead.
Okay, well, I think, first of all, we should look at why these bylaws came about, you know, the history of them. And they came about because there was an effort, a corporate effort, to seize Pacifica and KPFA. In fact, it was occupied by people who wanted to take out KPFA and Pacifica. That's why these bylaws were put together, to protect the foundation. Okay? That was the history of the bylaws. So, now, my concern I have is a growing corporatization of Pacifica and KPFA. More strip programming, less reports. I have a concern about the directors that we've elected, that we're not getting our reports. For example, there's a strategic committee. Have we had a report on this local station board from the strategic committee? I'm talking about the bylaws. Yeah. Okay. You know, I think that there should be, on the bylaws, accountability and responsibility of the directors to make reports to the local station boards. That's not in here. Also, reduction of numbers of board members, local station board members, in these bylaws. We have a problem right here at KPFA. In fact, we don't have any committees. Most other stations have committees, like finance committees and other committees. That is not, this is a general discussion on the bylaws. Stop interrupting me? I have a right to have a discussion.
No, this is already in the bylaws, but you're not.
I'm having a discussion about the bylaws. The other question I have is about eligibility.
Thank you. Point of orders. Go ahead, Tim. Tim has a point of order. Please hand him the mic.
I thought we needed a discussion of the bylaws that were currently pending, not a philosophical discussion of some
bylaws
that may or may not be needed.
No,
the pending bylaws.
Yes, this is about the current proposed bylaws.
On the current,
not what you think.
Okay,
should be
on the current bylaws, you have under section of eligibility of delegates, Pacifica delegates, it says that delegates should not be employees of the foundation. Okay, should not be getting money from the foundation. Have there been any delegates who've been getting money from the foundation who are delegates of the Pacifica board? That's a question to you.
There are people who are staff people who are part of the national board, and there are people who have, there is one person who is a staff person of KPFA who did a project to raise money for Pacifica, and was paid by Pacifica to do that, but it was in the capacity of somebody helping to raise money, which is a staff.
This is not really relevant. What we're discussing is the proposed bylaws amendments. Okay. If we could try to stick to that, or we'll never get out of here today. We have all kinds of philosophical differences, and I understand that. But let's actually please stay on topic and keep on what we're discussing. I had Carol and Marilla. You have. And then Chris.
Okay. So I would like us to start, and I want to say I think this is so probably one of the most crucial things that we do, although what we do on this right now may not make a change, but I think it's complex and we need to delve into it and look at the issues. And to me, one of the most central issues to this is how can we make the National Board functioning? Now, this body already passed a bylaws amendment regarding the size of the boards. And that bylaws amendment was to make it representational, and that was not taken up by the PMB, but what is here is several proposals having to do with the size of the national board. There are some bylaws proposals to eliminate LSBs altogether, and
not currently,
but I think what we want to talk about is the national board, for those of you who are on it, have been on it, or have had the courage to listen to some of those meetings, is the present size of the PNB and the way the PNB is structured functional? And I think if we start with the PNB, then we can also move our way down to the LSBs at some point. But I would like to focus our discussion right now on the size of the PNB. I believe that, having listened to those members, and I'd like to hear from Chris, and I'd like to hear from Sabrina, and I'd like to hear from Carol and Tom, about, do you think that it is functional to have the number of people that are on the national board continue to be on the national board? To me, having participated in a lot of bylaws discussion meetings nationally with other people. Okay.
Thank you, Carol. Marilla was next, and then Chris.
Yes, I'm concerned about this, the very first one here. I'm not sure what I heard. It seemed to be saying that we were no longer going to allow people to have their membership fees waived. And I wondered how many people have requested them approximately. So no prisoners have, because I really think that we need to make sure that we're not discriminating against people who are incarcerated, because this is one of the few things that they can get information through that has a different spin from the one that they're being told in rehabilitation, which is, you know, knuckle down, go pro corporate, your lives will finally straighten out. So what, it's difficult for me to believe that we have had no request for that. Can you tell me?
I have been told that we haven't had requests. That this has never been implemented. So that leads me to believe that there's never been any requests. But it never occurred to me what you're saying. And I do a lot of prison work, as you know. I don't know that it ever occurred to prisoners if they could be members. And I wonder if their rights, yeah. Oh, well, that might be something to consider. Well, that's an interesting point and something to raise and maybe vote no. I don't know.
Some of them can do a lot of organizing inside in the same way that, you know, we would want people out here. You know, they could, such as, well, I would be surprised, but I know there are some who are very supportive of the station and will tell other people about it to access it. I'm not saying they're going to have strikes or they're going to have mutinies or whatever, but I'm just saying to get the message across, I would hate to ace out folks.
Thank you, Marilla. Chris?
Thank you. I wanted to speak to the board size issue and the functionality or lack of function thereof. I really sincerely believe that the size of the board is a serious impediment to not only the functioning of the board, but the ability to address especially difficult issues. It's like a math problem, right? There's 18 people that show up to the board. There's maybe 10 issues that are discussed on a nightly basis. If you do the math, that's 100. If each person wants to speak to those issues, that's 180 people speaking to those issues. If they're only speaking for 1 minute each, which never happens, that's 180 minutes. The meetings start at 5:30. You're guaranteed that the meeting will never be out before 8:30, and that is, in fact, the case. They are never out before 8:30. They are often not complete at midnight Eastern Standard Time, and they are very frequently incapable of addressing the issues that are even on the agenda. So, and you know, you can blame it on squabbling, and there is a certain amount of that. Although I think that this board is actually pretty good. When I first came on the board, it was measurably worse. And it's gotten better over time. There's kind of a governing or a consensus coalition that is working now. And so things are moving more quickly. But even with that more quick movement, we run out of time. Issues that are on the agenda get pushed to the following meeting. That's a regular occurrence. And then that pushes out issues that could be discussed in the next meeting. So we end up doing more. We end up doing three or four meetings a month instead of one, and it's a part-time job keeping up with all this stuff. It's ridiculous, and nobody who has a day job, or a family, or is an activist, a life outside of the PNB can really do this, and so I'm very much in favor of scaling this back. To a more, I mean, if there were 14 people on the board, oh, I should say that we never get 22 that show up. So 18's kind of normal. If we had 14, maybe it would be 11. And now the math works out differently. Now it's 110 minutes instead of 180. And now maybe you can actually get the agenda covered in that 3.5 hour, which I think everybody will agree is an awful length for a meeting. But 3.5 hour meeting. So anyway, that was my two cents.
Thank you, Sabrina. Did you want to add anything? How you feel about it? Sabrina concurs. Tom, did you want to speak up? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think the primary issue here is we have a number of of LSB members from Texas and also from BAI that very rarely vote yes on anything. And I think that's one of the major problems that we need to be able to deal with somehow.
Thank you, Tom. Carol, did you want to say something? Carol T. S-A-T.
I think the studies have been done on sizes of groups, the optimal sizes of groups, and actually an optimal team is apparently 7, which is impossible. But and the way in which this board is structured builds in a natural parochial inclination, that is, to be for your station because you're a representative of your station. And actually the role of the Pacifica board is to be for Pacifica. And people could have different opinions on whether that's good or bad, but it certainly makes it hard to do what you're supposed to do. I think the biggest problem isn't the size, although I think because there's studies on optimal size that smaller is better and you can get more into the habit of getting to know each other and working together. But it's the factionalism, and it's my understanding that, and I don't know this for a fact, so I may be reporting something that's not true, that historically, no matter which faction is in control, the faction that isn't in control is disruptive and prevents agendas from being adopted and stalls things. And so that's a culture of Pacifica rather than when you walk into the board, you think that it's the people who are doing it now are the people who are terrible. But perhaps if you walked in at a different moment, you would think that the people who you like were the terrible people. So it's hard to – the alliance is – well, I'm making report. Okay.
Go ahead and give – do you want – are you asking for a little extra time?
I'll just another minute. I think that the factions in Pacifica are not on political matters. They're not on what people think of capitalism or racism or electoral politics or, you know, strikes or unions or working class power. It's on the alliances are based on historic positions on motions in Pacifica. It's hardly real politic, and it's bad, and it's I think that STV voting contributes to it. It is STV voting in government bodies ensures that minority populations of either race or political position or religious have a voice in the local government if they have a sufficient number to be considered a minority. But here they just guarantee factionalism.
Okay, I would like to say that I don't know how many people read it, probably not too many, but they actually contracted with an independent organization to analyze the structure a few years ago at BAI, the Yellow Magnet study that I actually read. And they said exactly what Carol just talked about, which is it's too many people on the board, too unwieldy, that the bylaws, although they're voluminous, are at the same time ambiguous and contradictory and left open to interpretation, and they said the factionalism is tearing everything apart. So those were some of the key elements that came out from the Yellow Magnet study that I read. And from the time I've listened to KPFA to have been around, that's been the problem, is the factionalism and the parochialism, and it's natural. Because if you're elected to a local station board for your station, you go to Pacifica, you're going to carry that water with you. And the concern is going to be for your local station. And I just would like to say I totally agree that that's the problem. What's the fix? And the problem I see right now is I don't know if any of these bylaws are likely to pass. I think it's important that we take a look at what we think are the most important ones of them, which I think is key. The key element is size. Definitely is one of them. But beyond that, I think that there has to be some changes. And Sabrina wanted to say something, and then Carol, then Steve.
Yeah, I agree with what Christina just said and with what Carol said, and just want to take this time to say thank you officially to Carol Travis, because with this size of the board, it has been very, very difficult to get anything done, especially after we had the break in the caucus that we did have together with the bankruptcy versus loan situation, just to take you back in history for a little bit. And with Carol Travis coming on the board, she was able to create the necessary rapprochements with everybody that was voting with their conscience and voting intelligently. And she helped a lot in bringing us all back together so that we could keep trying to get as much done in 180 minutes.
Thank you, Carol. And then we'll go Carol next and then Tom.
Yeah, one of my concerns about the size is, and it, the size also leads into question of composition because, for instance, WPFW right now only had 5 candidates come forward to run for the LSB. Okay, so they have to fill their board with a bunch of people, a 24-person board, when they only had 5 candidates coming forward. So if they can't get the candidates, they're going to be putting people on that board who may not even want to be there, may not have any experience. So they have like 5,000 members. They have very different goals for their station, which is mostly music. Texas, same thing, mostly music. So then what happens when you put people on a national board who do not have experience with finances, do not have experience with broadcasting? I think we need to really think about how do we find the right division of labor? I think there's a place for the local station boards or community advisory boards or some kind of programming input to have, look into the diverse communities and have a sense of how do we want to meet our mission of reaching out to diverse communities and what kind of programming input, how can we build connection with organizations and individuals. But that, a lot of people get on a national board or a local board because of their political interest, and then they don't have the skills to actually be managing.
Thank you, Carol. And Tom was next.
I just wanted to point out that in relation to what I said a little bit earlier, is there seems to be two groups of PNB members, one from BAI and the other from KPFT, whose goal seems to be to not let the PNB get anything done. And I think that's a major issue that needs to be dealt with. What?
How would you deal with it?
I don't know. I'm just raising that as an issue that really needs to be dealt with. So, if we could deal with that, we'd get a lot more done on the PNB.
And on the LSB. I'm putting myself in here, and then Steve. I totally agree with you because I've heard some of those meetings, and they get really crazy. But that is not a new problem, unfortunately. It's part of... Is it? Yeah? Okay. It's from my experience, going back to when I started listening to some of those meetings about 15 years ago with the other boards, it's been an ongoing problem. There's always this factionalism that arises and parochialism for the local stations. So I think, to your points, you're right, but some of it is inherent to the structure, I believe. So I think that's why we're looking at trying to figure out how do we fix the structure. And Stephen, then Tim.
Yeah, well, I don't agree that reducing the number of delegates is going to solve the problem, political problem on the board. I really don't believe that that's the problem. I think the problem is that Pacifica really doesn't have a vision of how to build up the network. That's the problem, to really become a powerful broadcast vehicle and involve millions of people. And that's something that needs to be addressed in relationship to the new executive director. But we need a debate in that on all the stations. If we have a vision and we know where we're going, a lot of these problems will disappear because people do want Pacifica and KPFA and the stations to be powerful, to be a voice for people. That is what they want. So I don't think that this is going to solve the problem. And I think I am in favor of bylaws that make accountability more clear. And there's a lack of accountability when people take actions that are improper in Pacifica, managers and others, no action is taken. There's no accountability. If you don't have accountability of management when they mismanage, okay, then you have a problem. And that's, the policy is the responsibility of the Pacifica National Board. However, if they don't make the managers accountable when they violate the policies, when they do things which put the stations and foundation in jeopardy, you have a real problem. And that is a continuing concern that I have about what's going on at the stations.
Thank you, Steve. Tim?
My day job is in a nonprofit, and we have a board of 30-plus people. That board meets 3 times a year. All of the work is done in committee. The committees meet either monthly, if it's certain committees, or certain meet quarterly. All of the work among the committees is done in advance. When they get to the board meeting, there is an executive committee that kind of filters through some things, and the work is the meetings themselves, the board meetings, are... They run fast. They run smooth. This board meets for 2.5 hours, 3 times a year, has a budget of $12 million. My suggestion for, just to answer Tom's question, and maybe since the bylaws are, may not get amended, if there's any way to do work in committee at the national level, this may be a help.
Carol?
I partially agree with Zelser and partially disagree with Zelser. I think that it is a problem that there isn't a shared vision of what Pacifica should be across across anywhere. And I disagree that the boards should be micromanaging and whipping around and treating executive managers as if that we're over them and we're their boss. I think we want them to be our agent and that we're part of a team. So I disagree with that part. And I really think that a lot of people get into Pacifica and see Pacifica as their political work. And instead of seeing Pacifica as a communication system for people doing political work and interfere with, and this is part of the root of the factionalism too, and interfere with managers and have habits of naysaying and criticism rather than building and teamwork. And I understand that. I've come from a culture where that was, we distinguished ourselves by our differences rather than our agreements. And it's a difficult time, and I know that many of us have been in this because we see the potential and the importance of Pacifica if we can get to the shared vision, which is what Steve was talking about that I agree with.
Chris?
By the way, I think that I'm going to leave because this is now a discussion for you. I think I've answered all the questions, and I'm going to the farmer's market. Goodbye.
I'm going with you. Okay. Thank you, Carol, for all of your work. Well, Chris had something to say. Oh, well.
I just wanted to ask you if you had anything about the composition of the board in terms of skills of people on the national board and what would be helpful.
I think that that's a very long, complex conversation, but I don't know what I think about that. I think that there you can make arguments for many different compositions of the board. You know, you might want political activists from different walks of life to so you make sure that the admissions adhere to. You might want you could hire lawyers and so on, and you may want media specialists, but I don't know. I think it's a very difficult thing, and I think that it's difficult also in terms of election versus appointment because of, as Steve said, the original thing where there was a fear of it being taken over and totally corporatized. So you want some check on somebody running away with it, but on the other hand, you don't want to micromanage it. So there's dilemmas. That's what I'd say.
Thank you, Carol. Chris?
Yeah. So I just wanted to say something more about Tom's objection. I really do agree with him that that there is a certain faction of the national board that basically will say no to anything. And because of that, you know, unanimous votes now have to be roll call votes. I am a little soft, but I don't know which mic it is. The discussions go on a lot longer as well. And I also agree with Carol that people tend to grandstand, that they bring issues that have nothing to do with the topics at hand into these, or at least as far as the rest of us are concerned. I mean, for them, it must have something to do with it according to them. But for the rest of us listening to this and anybody who's tuning in, it just seems like it's coming out of absolutely nowhere, a lot of these discussions. And there are maybe three members of the board that continue these diversions into the ditch. I can remember one occasion where it took over an hour to approve the agenda. And I mean, the agenda approval is often a contentious thing for the board, but I remember that one occasion because I was watching the clock and I just couldn't. No, I was late to that meeting. That's what it was. I was late to that meeting. I came in at like minute 50 and they were still working on the agenda. It's like I did not miss anything of that meeting of relevance. And yeah, it's that kind of madhouse. I mean, the dilatory nature of that board. This constant diversion into the ditch and into the weeds of discussion that have nothing to do with the topics at hand is definitely another problem. So I'm kind of siding with Steve here too, in that there's a separate issue here other than the board size. But I do think that if we reduce the numbers of people, that will reduce the size of that problem as well, since I don't really know how to fix that problem. I mean, unless we can intervene in the election of these officials and each individual board go down and make the case that these people are, like, not serving the interests of Pacifica or really even the interests of the individual stations. So,
thank you, Chris. I would also just sort of interject that something that Carol Wolfley has brought up to me a couple times is there is not representational. The representation is not based upon, like, there are radio stations that have very few members that have the same amount of representatives as KPFA, proportional representation. It's all this talking, and I'm starting to, like, lose it. But proportional representation does not exist within that unit. It's like, I don't know, do you know the numbers, Carol, that T has? I mean, they have about 5,000, whereas WPFW about 5,000, and I mean, yeah, and where BAI is about 5,000 too, I believe, the actual numbers, whereas we have more like 15,000 or so, and LA is about 15,000, 12,000, yeah, but it's like they're very small membership, but they have this amount of representatives, and maybe that also helps to let people who are more obstructive serve on a 22-member board or whatever, who might not be elected otherwise. That's why I feel that the number of people on the boards does have a definite, it matters how many people are there, not just taking up the time, but being able to actually come to some kind of agreement possibly if there's less people, right? So those are just a couple of things I see. I don't know if we can talk about this for a very long time apparently, but I don't know if we want to go. Yes, Tom.
Anthony, turn it down some.
Hey, Purple Haze.
It's the board you want to turn down.
Yes. No. The individual wouldn't. Which one? Yellow 1, 2. That's not it. That's better. Okay. Is this the section that individual PNB types can give our individual reports?
We're on the bylaws, but I think we should. Yes, Carol, I mean, we could actually go. Well, go ahead, Carol. What did you want to say?
Well, I want to say that Carol Travis just said that this is the month that the PNB can vote on the bylaws. If we don't vote on the bylaws, no, the PNB can. If we don't vote on the bylaws and they do vote on the bylaws, that means we bypass our possibility of giving input as a body.
We are allowed to call emergency meetings, are we not? And we can do them telephonically if need be. So if the PNB were to pass bylaws,
yeah,
we could call a meeting within several days.
Yes.
And have a vote. So I'm not sure that we have to have a vote.
Carol,
right,
is that
now.
True?
Is that correct?
What?
So Carol raised the question of, if we don't vote on these bylaws now ourselves, will we lose the opportunity to vote on them if the PNB were to somehow approve them within this month?
The PNB has to do it by 2/3 vote of all of the members of the board. That is not going to happen.
So, but even in an imaginary world where they did, we could still
schedule
vote.
An emergency
yeah,
meeting.
So
yes, we could.
So all right. So thank
okay.
you. I don't think the urgency
yes.
is there. Then.
Tom.
Yes. This question was asked of the parliamentarian at a PNB meeting. I'm not sure if it was the last one or the one before, but his opinion was what was that if we fall behind date-wise on what the and what's provided in the bylaws, the thing to do was to catch up with what's required as soon as you can. But because you don't make it by the date that's provided, does not negate the necessity to go ahead and get it done.
Steve?
So I move that we have reports from our PNB members.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor? All those opposed? We don't have to have a vote. We've been talking so long, I'm losing it. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's...
We're just closing that discussion.
Okay, but we don't need to vote on that. isn't that those things that you ride around?
Well,
yeah. Actually, yeah, do we want to go ahead? But we can. That shouldn't take too long with this particular board, I would hope. Not like the PNB. Can we approve the December minutes? Have people had an opportunity to view them? They were sent to you in email.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Do I, all those in favor?
Yeah, when there are roll calls on votes, I would propose in minutes next month's meeting or the next meeting that the roll call vote is in the minutes.
Is that a motion?
Well, I'm just it should be on the minutes so people know how people are voting when you have a roll call and a vote. Since we're having a roll call, I mean, that's the purpose of a roll call, to find out where people stood.
Yeah, there was no roll call vote in the last meeting.
I'm not saying that there was. I'm just saying.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Thank you. All those in favor of approving the minutes from the last meeting, raise your hand.
Are you not going to approve? Okay. So unanimous. Oh, no. Not Steve.
I wasn't here, so I'm abstaining.
Okay.
Okay, so one abstention and two abstentions? Three abstentions? No, just two abstentions. Okay, thank you.
And how many yes?
How many yes did you see? Ten yes. Thank you. The motion passes. Okay, so we move right along to the reports from Pacific and National Board Directors. So, Sabrina, did you want to give a report?
No, we haven't met. We haven't met in the last couple of weeks, actually, so there's
okay.
Not much to talk about. We've got a lot coming out of committee that's going to be going to the board as far as the...
Thank you, Sabrina.
As far as the programming committee is concerned, we've got some stuff coming to the board in regards to slight programming changes. Wow.
As far as some changes on the programming?
Programming evaluations, whatnot. And the personnel committee is going to be bringing some stuff to the board as well in regards to the handbook for all personnel, paid and unpaid. And I don't know what the finance and audit committees are doing, so I'm not on that. Okay, so they haven't met, and we'll have more in February. The audits are very close. We're almost up to date with audits, which means we'll be able to go after foundation money.
Yes.
And legitimately put out those LOIs to, you know, get a hold of that cash.
That's
right.
Great. That's good news.
Right,
Thank you.
Right.
Wow. And okay, and then we go to Chris and then Tom. Or did you want to say anything? Or?
Can we take a technical pause?
Sure. Technical pause.
Can we turn the speaker down a little bit, and then I'll turn the master's ear up a little bit?
It hasn't, like I said, it's going to committee. The committee stuff is going to the PNB, so it hasn't gone to the PNB yet. But we will be meeting next week.
And it's fairly soft.
But
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3.
Hello, test.
Oh, hello. Okay. Okay. How's it doing?
Okay. Hello, hello. Sounds good. A little louder. Okay, hello. You like that? I like that.
Hello,
good.
Test.
One,
hello,
two,
test.
Three, four, five.
That's three for Thomas. Good, right? And where's four? Four is back here. Sabrina, can we hear your mic for just a moment?
Okay, sure. Testing, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. It's an overcast day here in Berkeley at 1:35 p.m., and we're at the Monkey House. We're at the Monkey House in a local station board meeting for Pacifica Radio, KPFA, 94.1 FM. It seems like I got it. KPFB, 89.3, and I don't remember the rest of the call ID. K248BR in Santa Cruz and online at kpfa.org.
Okay.
Thanks.
And we're also working on a another translator for the Salinas area, if I believe, which hopefully will be on the air sometime soon.
That's good news. Well, thank you, and I thank you again to all of our PNB members. Did you want to have a question, Steve? No. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Please give your report.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I've been conversing with several members from some of the other stations, and we're going to try to start dealing with the national debt early on this year sometime.
That's also good. Thank you. Steve.
Well, I'm Steve Zeltzer. I'm a little disturbed we don't have a report on the strategic committee. What's being planned in the strategic committee? What the discussion is? It was a special committee to set up to deal with the crisis here at KPFA and Pacifica. So why don't we have a report, either written or verbal? I mean, I think people who are elected to these positions have a responsibility to report back to the local station boards. I think that that's critical. I have a concern about the direction of Pacifica and about the corporatization of programming and strip programming in Pacifica. For example, we have the evening news, which is an hour, for San Francisco and Los Angeles. I don't believe that we should have an evening news of San Francisco and Los Angeles. I think San Francisco has enough stuff going on in the Bay Area to have a news program on the Bay Area. And the same for Los Angeles. There's so much going on in Los Angeles, they can't have an evening news. I'm not against a statewide news program that would have news from California, but I think it would be better to allow each station, San Francisco, the Bay Area station, and Los Angeles, to have an hour news program. So I think that should be part of the discussion. The other issue on programming is there are very important national issues facing the people of the United States.
Actually, we do not do programming decisions in this body.
This is we're talking about the report from the programming committee. Yeah. So I have in the past KPFA and KPFA have done like joint programs on the election and labor, where to stand elections stand on the state labor. I think we have to use our state platform of KPFK and KPFA to do some statewide programming that we can broadcast throughout the state because we are a statewide broadcast vehicle. And I think that that would be important on immigration or on the crisis in public education. It would be very important to have a statewide day of programming on the crisis in public education in California and reach out to the unions and teachers and students to do that. And the same nationally on the issue of immigration and labor rights.
Thank you. Sabrina, you were going to make a point there.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to what Steve said. I completely agree with you as far as the strip programming and these new changes that they're trying to implement through the programming committee. This is being stemmed from what the executive director is trying to push, which is these best practices, even though he's not using that particular title for it. Completely against it. As far as the committees, going back to what you were talking about before, there was an issue, the Campisi lawsuit, et cetera, that blocked the KPFA folks from getting onto committees properly. So I just happened to end up spilling off into the programming committee and the personnel committee. And as far as strategic planning, that is a committee that was just created. And during the little split, the bankruptcy versus loan split, folks were just kind of placed on these committees willy-nilly. So.
Thank you. Well, thank you again to our board members for all that they do for us, for sitting through those difficult meetings.
Thank you.
I think we're going to move on to something that I apologize I skipped, which was we were going to talk about number six, which was our next proposed LSB meeting. Yes? Sure. Go ahead. You want my mic?
I just want to go back to programming. I know that Tom and some of us, when I was on the programming committee, were talking a lot about news. I think it should be noted that KPFA is the only station in the network that has a fully functioning news department. And news is very expensive to produce. And part of the problem, and Tom and I have talked about this a lot, is the loss of FSRN nationally left a huge hole. And I spent hours this past week looking at different news sources, and I noticed how many news sources, independent news sources, have actually gone out of business because it's very challenging to do accurate, reliable, independent news. So how do we, I think, that's a huge issue that needs to be looked at across Pacifica, and I think it's important to keep in mind that we do want to have news, and we want to have independent news, and we want to have good sources, and we want it to be not just like somebody's political opinion, but we want it to be investigative news. So when we're pointing fingers and saying what somebody should or shouldn't be doing, I would rather see us saying, I am grateful that KPFA does have a functioning news department, and let's try and help it, and let's try and share quality news investigation across the network and find ways to champion that.
Thank you, Carol. That's an important point. Okay, so the next item we were going to look at is the next proposed LSB meeting date, and we were going to talk about new board orientation as well. I'm not sure the way it's worded here. Were you proposing that we couple them, or I'm not quite sure, Carol. I mean, I don't know if we're going to have for sure the results of our election by the 23rd. Do you guys know, or? Yeah, that's what I thought.
I want to say that Renee, who is the LES for KPFA, is also the NES, and she is handling the insanity and the chaos. And if you think there's problems at KPFA, it's nothing
really
compared to what she's dealing with. So I would not have asked her to drive over here and spend all these hours
at this meeting. I think that if you have problems, if people are having problems getting their ballots, they need to go online and fill out the form to request their ballots. I didn't get my ballot, so I requested one.
I got mine.
And so, you know, that is the main thing to be telling people. If you didn't get your ballot, go online and request it on the elections.pacifica.org website and check the dates. There's information about the dates. And we, elections.pacifica.org. I notice Kit is here. She's a receptionist at the KPFA desk. Do you want to raise your hand, Kit, so people know? And Kit, we don't have paper ballots that we can pass out because it's all numerated, given a subscriber. So when people have questions, you have to just refer them to that website.
But that's our issue with more seniorly folks,
yeah,
that want a paper ballot, and there's no reason you can't have a section of numbers that the receptionist, you know, however you want to work it out, but the receptionist could write it out right when they listen to that phone call and send it on its way and notate it.
It's so we can
propose that.
Yeah, we can. Your receptionists are welcome to provide information and to send that to the NES as well.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, good.
You know, the deadline for requesting a paper ballot was January 23rd. It says it on the website.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, well, I'm a little disturbed that our secretary decided that it was improper or inappropriate to invite the election supervisor to make a report to us here, because there are a lot of concerns, not just among the listeners, but also the staff about how the election is being run, particularly ballots, paper ballots for senior members of the staff, which has been raised here. And frankly, you know, the election supervisor, if she couldn't be here personally, she could be by phone. She could take questions here. And in the past, when we've had elections, the election supervisor has come to the meeting and talked about the election process. You know, it's not a major deal. So I think it's, again, problematic that our local station board doesn't have a report about what's happening with the KPFA election. I think that's a problem. And I asked the board to do that, and you know I think it's a problem because when people are asking us what's going on with the election and they're trying to get in touch, I mean I'm not in charge. I want to see a successful election, but if you have can we have some interruptions here? I mean, chair. I mean, you know. So anyway, that's a problem. Then maybe we can at least have some kind of report what's happening with the KPFA election. If people, seniors, need ballots, we want to make it as easy and user-friendly as possible for them to get ballots. And a lot of our listeners, I'm a senior myself, have problems with electronics. They have problems with computers. And I think we have to be cognizant of that, because what that means is a lot of people aren't going to be able to get access to the election. They're going to be left out in the election.
So first,
could you actually answer this question
for me? Okay, but let me first say that I received an email from the election supervisor, just as the head of the board. I think Carol got one too, because there were some issues. Chris got one where she is really she has zero time. She's working overtime on this because she's handling a gigantic organization for this and doing double duty by doing KPFA and everybody else. So it's like triple duty. So, I mean, she did come to give us a report during our last meeting. She was nice to come here, enough to come here. We thought the election was more important than her just coming here, and there's not a lot she can tell us except there's problems. If you want to offer solutions or say that there are issues, and I see you, Sabrina, you're next. Then you could do that. You can go online and do that, because she has an email. Oh, okay. That's okay. Anyway, you know, she's provided an avenue for you to use to address your concerns. It's online. She answered me back when I used that just as a voter almost immediately. It was like within a 45-minute time period. It's like an email. You don't have to be technically really capable to just answer an email. So I just want to say that go on the website if you have to. If you have proposals for changes or anything like that, and she will answer you. And I think Tim and then Sabrina.
So first, I want to actually commend Renee on the job that she's been doing, because she has been doing double or triple duty, and she has been extremely responsive to all concerns. And I think if we suggest some changes or modifications, that she would at least be responsive to them to the degree that she can be. I'm not sorry that she's not here today. I understand how busy she is. And I think, anyway, the second thing is, I do believe that there is, it hasn't been widely publicized yet, but for staff, there will be a staff candidate forum on February 7, Thursday, February 7 at 7 p.m. at the station. I think that would be a good place, that staff should know about that, that that's coming up as well. It just got decided, so.
Thank you, Tim. Sabrina?
Yeah, I just wanted to clear up what's going on with Renee. I mean, she just took on the National Election Supervisor position, which takes care of all five stations. She just took that over because there was an issue with the initial NES for this particular election. So people need to keep that in mind, that she's taking care of all five stations as the National Election Supervisor. And she's taking care of KPFA as a local election supervisor. And she's taking care of KPFK as the local election supervisor. So back off.
Was Tom next on the list? I wasn't taking a sec. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out another problem. I've been contacted by two members that somehow their individual memberships have gotten lumped into one. They've both paid their individual membership fees, but they have only received one vote between the two of them, and they've made repeated calls to the appropriate extension at KPFA to try to get that straightened out, and left the details, and nobody has ever called them back. Now it's time for them to vote. What do they do?
Tim.
You have to go online. It's a problem. We wish it was otherwise, but you have to go to elections.pacifica.org. Then you go to the Berkeley Public Library or the other library in your town. Okay. So
they need to go to that
no
website.
There's no other way to do it.
Is what Tim is saying that we discussed. Could you
elections.pacifica.org.
Did you get that, Tom? Elections.pacifica.org. Okay. So we were on the, I don't know how worked the LSB meeting. Our LSB meeting, I know. That. Yes, go ahead, Carol.
So my proposal was that we schedule the next LSB meeting for Saturday, March 23rd, and because we don't know what's going to happen, we just have that date set. And the reason that we said the 23rd would be that there is a possible chance that we will have the election results by then.
Yes, we can hope. So it's been proposed and seconded. So we would be voting on the next LSB meeting being held on March the 23rd, did you say, on Saturday? So all those in favor, raise their hand.
Eight.
All those opposed? One opposed, you can't make it?
It's complicated. There's no possible way we can make it the 30th.
The 30th is Monday. Well, no.
Okay, so
the
30th? That's okay with me. But okay, let's amend that to make it the 30th. Is that fine with you, Carol?
Yeah.
Okay, so all those in favor of the 30th, the Saturday the 30th, raise your hands. The 30th?
Okay, sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8.
And those opposed? Abstentions? Three abstentions? And the motion carries. We'll have our next meeting on the 30th. No, thank you. We want you here. Thank you very much. Okay. Moving right along. And we'll decide at a later time about the retreat date because we need to know more. We can decide then, right, if the election's transpired. So we've already covered the old business of the Pacifica bylaws. Do we have any announcements? Yeah, there's also the LSB election, which is also 10. I said it would be under old business. We'll just go ahead and do it under old business because it is. We've discussed it before, and it's appropriate. So, but where were we? We were announcements, and then we'll do the we'll do Steve's, and then we can do the LSB election ones. So, are there any announcements? Okay, Tim, and then Steve, you said you have an announcement? Okay.
The 33rd annual KPFA Grateful Dead Marathon will be held on Saturday, March 2nd from 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. Not only on kpfa.org, we will be on nugs.net and gdradio.org, and we will do our best to do better than we did last year.
Oh, you did great last year, so thank you. That's great. And Steve?
Yeah, I have an announcement. The Oakland Education Association members are going to be voting, having a strike vote on the 30th of this month for 2 days. And it's likely that there is going to be a strike, the teachers and staff, and it's going to affect our students. And also will affect KPFA staff because some of our staff members actually have children who are going to school in Oakland. Yeah, they're going to have to deal with the work and everything else that a strike entails. So I've talked with some of the Oakland union leaders and activists about how KPFA can help them get the word out and information about what's going on. And they're open to having a KPFA playing a role in their struggle, having events or things like that. If they do have a Facebook page and they're trying to Facebook events, I think we should start using our Facebook and YouTube to kind of help get the word out about the issues facing the Oakland Education Association and their members. That would be very important. It would help broaden our audience of people who listen to KPFA.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Any other announcements?
The next fund drive will be from February 19th to the 8th. So, Tim, I'm guessing that you're at the end. Yeah. So it's really important to get people to go to the phone room to help answer phones. There is a computer system there, and we look forward to mobilizing organizations and individuals to work in the phone room. Also, I went to a meeting last night. It was really encouraging with for International Women's Day programming, and that's going to be happening, and there's a lot of very exciting proposals, and we're hoping to, for those of you who are on, Tom, I know you're on the National Programming Committee, to bring that to the Programming Committee because they may want to pick up our coverage of International Women's Day at other stations. We've got a great lineup of programming that other stations might want to pick up for March 9th, 6 a.m. to 12 p.m.
6 to 12 on the 9th?
6 a.m. to 12 on the 9th. Okay, thank you, Carol. The next order of business was live streaming. Multimedia.
I
need to take a break at least real quick.
Okay.
But
5 minutes.
You can, 5 minutes.
Just keep going if you want. Well, I just need to use the restroom.
Okay.
You
can
take it over for a
minute. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I can just chair.
Yeah. Or one of you can chair for a minute.
Yeah,
everybody wants a break.
You want a break?
Okay, break.
How long?
Break.
Like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, what?
10 minutes.
10 minutes? I know. So reconvene at 2:10. It's 1:59 now, so. Carl. This is like herding cats or something. It's like, okay. Okay, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting back to order after our break. And Steve Zeltzer was next, but under old business, multimedia.
Yeah, thanks for adding this to the old business agenda. I wanted to go over some of the issues as far as multimedia, which I think are important to KPFA and Pacifica. One is that more and more young people are watching their cell phones and watching live media streams. And the estimates are, and I'll send the information to the delegates, the information are that 60 to 70% of young people who are people we want to get to watch and listen to KPFA will be looking at their mobile streaming to get information in their communication system. So that's a very important issue for us if we want to win over young people and add them to the listeners. The other thing is that KPFT in Houston actually has two additional digital channels that they use. And they're able to have additional programming. And I think there are a lot of good programs people have said should be added to KPFA. Black Agenda, there are many, many good programs that are on that are available. And the additional two channels, if you digitalize, are broadcast from the digital signal. It's not a digital signal. It's a analog signal. Yeah,
that's the main signal.
That's right, and maybe Tom can speak about that. So I think the fact that KPFT is able to do that raises the issue, why can't KPFA have two additional channels? And I think that that's an important thing to consider. And there might be people who might be willing to contribute to actually the money to do that, which I think would be, I'm not sure. Tom investigated. He said it was about 50,000 or something. He was going to look into digitalizing the signal.
Okay.
So this is a report.
No.
Yeah, this is a report. Yeah. This is a report.
So go ahead,
finish. So that's a very important thing I think we need to investigate as a board. The other thing is that there, as I said earlier, there are very important struggles taking place in this country, like in public education, immigration, and the danger of a dictatorship, really. And I think that for labor, particularly, the unions are mobilizing. I was at a rally yesterday at Oakland Airport of AFSCME workers who have been ordered to work without pay, slave labor. And the workers are becoming Yvonne Williams, who is the executive director of ATU 192, the bus drivers, and secretary of the Alameda Labor Council, said that if they continue to push working people, we may have to have a real shutdown.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, this issue of covering this these issues in a popular way require more than just a news segment. It requires in-depth kind of programming. And I think I've talked to people in Los Angeles about the possibility, and I think that we need to think about that more and more, of some joint days of programming between Los Angeles and San Francisco for multimedia, live, and using the teachers' unions and others to link up with, build support for the issue of public education, and also support for KPFA and Pacifica. Pacifica is the only broadcasting vehicle statewide that can actually provide this kind of statewide programming. So I think we have to have an approach to how can we use multimedia to use these the broadcast capabilities to build our support and educate people about the importance not only of the issue but of Pacifica and KPFA. So I would suggest that we have maybe a multimedia discussion and an event where people can get information. You can have people from different points of view from KPFA who are involved in it. Frank Sterling has been involved in streaming the station. And I think that that would be a very valuable way of engaging a broad group of people from different places together to talk about how we can use multimedia to develop KPFA and Pacifica. And when we brought up May Day, for example, or Women's Day programming, that's important. And Pacifica nationally could link up with women's groups around the country and make a program for women on Women's Day, national programming on Women's Day. That's a possibility using new technology. And it would be an exciting thing for women's organizations around the country to hear a national day of programming on women.
Okay, now,
I think that that's some of the issues we want to address. So I'm going to propose, we wrote a document for the LSB, and I'm going to propose that we have a meeting on the issue of multimedia, and we have different aspects of how we can develop multimedia for KPFA and Pacifica.
Okay, thank you, Steve. I had Sharon and then Tim were on the stack. Sharon, go ahead.
I don't have any problem with multimedia. In fact, I am an avid watcher of YouTube. And when I go on YouTube, I see all kinds of live streaming, multimedia, news, very insightful and progressive news. And my issue is that platform already exists. And it seems like Steve is constantly asking KPFA to take on a whole new thing, which is KPFA does radio. Multimedia is not radio. And there's already an existing platform that all we have to do is use it. It's already out there. You just put your YouTube channel up. Any KPFA programmer could do a YouTube channel. You know, and I'm sure there might be even a way to link it, you know, to Quincy. With Quincy to link it to KPFA if it got approved. I mean, that's how I would see doing multimedia. Instead of making KPFA reinvent the wheel, we should use the existing platform that is out there. There's more than YouTube also to have multimedia happen. And my other point that I've really been coming to appreciate YouTube in so many ways is their community funding model. Their community funding model, because I constantly hear other stations within the network are going down the road of underwriting, which I vehemently oppose, and yet I don't see within Pacifica a discussion about using, looking to the model of what is happening on YouTube, because YouTube has a way to subscribe, and then people have their Patreon accounts, which, believe me, I've been following the whole discussion about Patreon deplatforming people, too. And that's something that KPFA should be reporting on, to just go slightly off topic. But I just want to say that instead of going down the same old road, KPFA and Pacifica need to look at the modern technology and how to make it work for them, how to use that model to raise money for the network.
I had Tim and then Chris.
Okay, a couple of things come to mind. One is Antonio has begun a video initiative within the station. There has been some music programming that has been videoed. So there's already an initiative within the station. I'm sure if you wanted to volunteer for that, that there's possibilities of doing that already. It's already begun. Second, Steve, I've been hearing from you for like 2 years now at least, right, that we need video, multimedia, but I've never once seen a budget, not once, not how much a camera costs, what staffing would be required, what, if anything, technology would be required. Without something specific, this is just, you know, barroom talk. Like, it would be great if we did this, you know. Bring me a budget. Bring this committee a budget that says I want to dedicate X amount, and this is how it's broken down. This is how much a camera costs. This is right. So without that, it's just an idea. Lastly, I believe that we can do all kinds of linking through our program pages, right? So if there's streams that you do, you could put them on your page and then show the viability of this to draw people, right? If you can demonstrate that your labor page gets 50,000 hits or 500 hits or whatever because you're doing multimedia and you're doing it with your phone and making it work, the station will have to come to it, right? So do it. Don't talk about it. And I think that once you prove the viability, we're good to go.
Thank you. And Chris?
Yeah, I just wanted to make one quick comment, and that's that the PNB is also adamantly opposed to underwriting. Just, I mean, it's a very vocal majority. So
that is good to hear. And Aki?
Yeah, I just wanted to also support sort of a Steve's initiative in the sense that there are a lot of students and college groups, right, that probably already do a lot of this kind of a thing. So I think that going on that model and following it, and as Tim says, just start doing it is probably the best path, I think.
Thank you. Carol?
I think one of the most important questions is, do we work with management or against management? And when things are brought in a respectful, careful way and done in a respectful, careful way, they have a lot better chance of succeeding. So I think one of the things that we know is that there are, and I'm going to try and say this carefully so we don't have to go into executive session, potential problems with people for the station about live streaming. And what happens, let's have a potential of what happens if there's some live streaming of someone doing something illegal. What if it is somebody who has a connection with the station? What if people who are activists are doing something and the forensic police are using those tapes to nail those people? So I think we have to be very careful about unedited material, the station being responsible for unedited material, because it can create legal challenges and problems. Now, I think a safer route is to work with video. But again, to be respectful of the people who are being videoed, and if they want to, and if it jeopardizes them in any way, so to be checking those kinds of things. And I also want to say that bringing the same thing up on 6 or 7 points on the agenda every time, you know, every issue seems to come down to live streaming. I find it tiring and alienating.
Just keep it. Thank you. Any more comments? Yes, Steve?
Well, the fact is other stations are doing some of this work already, and they have less of a budget than KPFA. So this is already happening. I mean, the digitalization of the channels or the broadcast is happened. It's in KPFT. They have two additional channels. That's something that we can work to do. So that would allow new programming. That is important that we have new programming on, and that would broaden our audience. Also, they use one of the channels as a revenue stream. They rent it out, so it actually raises money. That's something that we can use. I'm not against raising revenue. If one of our channels can be used for raising revenue, let's do it. As to this question about who's doing it and let's see what we can do, it's already been done. Do people remember the climate march that we had here of 30,000 people? Are people aware that we did a live stream at the climate march of what was going on? We interviewed people. Do people remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, you were interviewed. So one of the issues that happened in that is the apprentices and others tried to get the station to publicize it, to put a link on the front page so people could find it. And it was one obstacle after another. Now, I know that they're doing, they have a YouTube channel, but all that is on the YouTube channel is music. Now, I'm not against music, but there should be more than music on a YouTube channel. And if you look at the YouTube channel, it's mostly all music. So, well, the last time I looked, it was music, you know. So let's see. If it's news, then why not have these streams that we did, like on the climate march or the education rally, on that channel? That's the question. You know, if it's news, those are news issues. The other thing is,
okay, thank you. Well, Tim was next.
Again, Steve, I want to ask you, since they're so passionate about this, to please bring us specifics. How many views do these other stations get? What others? I hear this word all the time. Other stations are doing it. Can I please understand what other stations we're talking about? How many viewers? Because on a YouTube thing, you can see how many times something's been viewed. So I would like to see some specifics. You have this idea that you present to us that we will save the network by this, and I don't see any evidence of it. I don't know what it would cost to do a transmitter upgrade. So it's a great theory, but until we have specifics, this is how many listeners KALW gets because your call is Facebook live streamed. You know, I don't think that your call is you know what it is because it's got a live stream going on Facebook for its weekly thing. So I'd like to see something that demonstrates that this will help. I'd like to see how much it would cost, right? And I hate to say this, but I think we have to say it, right? I saw the live stream from the climate march. It was not compelling video, okay? And so that's not going to save the station.
I'm giving myself and then Sharon just to say something really quick because I do talk to kids, I call them, because they're my kids and their friends and a bunch of them recent graduates from UC Berkeley. I've said this before. They don't watch live streaming. They watch YouTube. They watch stuff that is curated or personalities is what he said. They don't just tune because it's boring just watching people just walk by. What is interesting is someone who is, you know, really covering it. And he told me again and again, he's got his degree in sociology. He had to study this part, is that what people are gravitating towards, the youth and older people, ancient people like me, is like they're looking at stuff that is compelling to them that somebody is curating. Walking people walk by. He said, no, people don't watch that. So that's just my two cents from what I've been told serendipitously from talking to kids. And I'm going to give it to Sharon.
Okay. I would like to say that I also watched the Climate March live stream, at least part of it. It was not compelling. I did try to watch it because Steve, you've said so many things about it. I wanted to watch it. And I also noticed that there was 10 other people besides me watching it. So maybe it's a factor to it not being on the homepage, but maybe it's also a factor of it not being compelling, like people might tune in and then tune out. You know, so that is why curated, you know, content is more compelling. Sort of echo what Tim is saying, because I agree. If we had a proposal, if we had like something to discuss that was concrete, I would be very interested in hearing this because I do believe I love YouTube. I feel like I've just discovered it, and I'm all like, oh my gosh, there's this whole world out there. And I did not know that KPFA had a YouTube channel, so I'm going to check it out. But I find it somewhat surprising that the person that has mentioned live streaming and multimedia 10 times so far in this meeting did not know that. I actually find that a little surprising when somebody is trying to. You said there was music and that you were corrected by other people, so you maybe don't know exactly what's happening. But anyway, that was my point.
Yeah, no, well, I would just say it would be what I'm hearing, I'm sensing from what people are saying is if you could put together, could you wait just one moment? I watch YouTube all the time. There is a diversity of information, a cornucopia of stuff from all kinds of different elements. Music is merely one element to YouTube. I think that's what Sharon was making as a point. But more appropriately, my sense from what everybody's saying is if you could put together a strategic plan and bring it to us with specifics on budget, on what it would look like, on how it's working out in other places, then that would be more compelling than just talking about it. And if, because I think that we need to see that. Yes, Chris.
Not to be overly anecdotal, but I don't have cable where I live, and so I get all my news over YouTube. Because it's edited, all the commercials are taken out of it. I can scan through and find what I want, and I just find it's really, I think it's a compelling way to view things.
I do too. Yes, Steve.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the KPFA YouTube channel now. The top of it is music, and it doesn't have a lot of views. 97 views, 34 views. The top of it is music. 1 month ago, 702 views, 37 views. But the last news event on this channel that I'm looking at right now, the KPFA channel, was Sandra Cisneros in 2015, 97 views. That's 11 months ago it was put up. So they are doing YouTube. And Frank Sterling and the Apprentices tried to get that climate march on YouTube. He said, what can I do to get it on? And he got a roadblock. Now, you didn't find it compelling video, you know, the climate march, but actually it was a coverage of people talking about the march who were on the march. There was a rally of 4,000 people right here in Berkeley against the Nazis. Does everyone remember that? 4,000 people marched against the Nazis? Well, you know, actually KPFA could have had a live stream with the booth in interviewing people who were at that rally. Why were they there? Why were they protesting the Nazis? That is called live streaming, interviewing by journalists, interviewing why people are involved, what they're doing. I want to bring to the attention why KPFA became a powerful broadcast vehicle in the 60s. It's because they used to broadcast live events at Sproul Hall, where thousands of people listened to that at the events and all over the Bay Area and all over the country. That's one of the reasons KPFA became an important broadcast vehicle. Those were uncensored. They were unedited. And they were on the radio. We should think about the movements in this country and how we can connect with them and broadcast the issues in a professional way so that people can understand what's going on. That is, I believe, our goal. One of our goals, anyway. And that is covering the issues and struggles of working people. And that should not be an obstacle with management.
Thank you, Tim.
We're all in agreement on the movements and the coverage and stuff. You want to make a compelling video? You have three cameras and a video switcher, a producer who's switching between different angles, right? You don't have a side shot of a big table with people, you know. So it takes a – yes. And that's why it's not – it's not that the content isn't compelling. It's not something that was something that would draw eyeballs to it. Right. So bring a proposal that says a video producer, a Zoom switcher. There's all kinds of things that are needed to make compelling video. And as soon as we get that, we will have something to talk about. Right. In the meantime, there are other organizations that can help. Before we bought anything, we could be working with the East Bay Media Center. We could be working with local community television to demonstrate the viability, right? Once we have that sort of thing going on, it becomes much easier to say, look, I drew 700 people we don't have as members to my channel, and here's what it would cost to go forward. So, you know, I sometimes hear proposals that are saying other people should do things. Right. And the proposals that I find most compelling are, I'm doing this and it is successful. Would you help me expand on it?
Thank you. I think we've talked this out yet again. I'd like to move along to old business, the LSB election. Oh, go ahead.
I would just like to clarify for future meetings that we have now done this item. It is no longer an agenda item. We have completed the item. It's not old business. It's completed business. Steve, if you have a proposal that you would like to bring to us that's in writing and maybe even send it out ahead of time so that we can review it and have a real discussion about the proposal, because I don't think there's actually opposition. It's just we need to know how to go forward. So that is what I would just like to clarify. We have completed this agenda item. I think I actually clarified that once before. So just to the extent that I'm clarifying again.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to discuss our LSB election. And Carol, did you want to speak on this item? Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to repeat, if you have a problem, go to Pacifica, at elections.pacifica.org, and the ballots have gone out, and I believe they're due March 5th. So there's some time to resolve and work through these issues.
Thank you, Carol. The evaluation timeline, did you want to discuss that?
I have sent our evaluation documents to the new executive director of Pacifica to ask him to look them over, because it seems to me that part of the process, because he's part of the evaluation team, is to just get input, his input as well. So we're waiting to hear back on that, and then we'll be looking at a timeline. Part of it is to send to the LSB and to staff, some of the staff, evaluation documents. So thanks.
Thank you. And I would like to thank Carol Wolfley for finding this location for us. She does the lion's share of always looking for somewhere for us. Thank you so much. If I knew Berkeley better, I would be able to help more, but I just don't know the locations as well. But thank you so much, because you do so much for us. And it is.
I want to put in a plug for the Monkey House on University Avenue in Berkeley. It is a wonderful spot. Monkeyhouse.org, I believe, is it. But if you Google the Monkey House in Berkeley, you'll find a good website. There's all kinds of great political benefits that happen here.
All right. Well, and as the last thing before I would entertain a motion to adjourn, which I'm dying to get some air. One last thing, but point taken. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate that we have differences. We have difference of opinions and stuff, but we can talk to each other. And the gentleman that brought up how the board used to act, you know, really brought me to mind of that. I really appreciate everybody on this board that we can have difference of opinions on stuff, but we can talk at least. And there's none of that bad behavior that he described before. So thank you, guys. It's good to work with you. Well, thank you. You're welcome. I have a motion to adjourn on the floor, speaking of leadership. All in favor, yay. Okay.